Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey, here's a question for you. When's the last time you went to the dentist for literally anything? It's probably been too long. And you probably need to schedule another appointment. Make sure you do it with Green Mountain Dental Group. Green Mountain Dental Group is in Lakewood. They're the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro, and they are extreme Colorado sports fans, just like you and just like me. Hey, we've done this read many times. You know that some of our employees have been there. Our sales director, Lindsay, had an awesome experience there getting her wisdom teeth removed. They send you a personal card to your home after you become a new patient. The doctor personally called in with Lindsay and checked up on her. But here's the best part. When you schedule a cleaning, an x-ray, and an exam, you will receive a free Sonicare toothbrush. Pretty sure it's like a $60 value, something in that ballpark. You can get it for free just by taking care of your teeth, which will help you take better care of your teeth. Tweet at us when you go there. Make sure you get that cleaning, get that x-ray, get that exam with Green Mountain Dental Group, and you'll walk away with that free Sonicare toothbrush.
As Rich told you, we installed the internet on our computer just a short time ago, and I haven't been able to get the kids off it ever since.
Not only do they play the typical computer games that all the kids enjoy, but their curiosity for learning has skyrocketed. Peter is constantly quoting sports statistics, and he can tell you the best surfing spots around the globe.
Not to mention the improvement in Peter's grades, and Dasha's too. Having the internet in our home has had a great impact on our lives. Rich keeps up with the stock market and our investments, and I'm able to pay the bills in half the time it used to take me. And the kids are improving in their grades and communication skills.
Which makes me happy, as I would sure like them to go to college someday.
The internet, it's great, isn't it, everybody?
That is terrifying. I'm gonna get rid of the internet from my home.
They never saw this show coming.
They never saw it coming, otherwise
this was their worst nightmare. This was their worst nightmare.
Improving people's grades.
Yeah, improving people's grades, definitely not true. Welcome in, everybody, to the Wednesday mailbag edition of the DNVR Nuggets podcast. I'm your host, Adam Mattis. I'm down in the bottom right for me. This feels very weird. It doesn't feel right. I'm supposed to be up top. I'm joined by my esteemed colleagues here. I got the whole squad here. Whole squad ready. Up above me, the man with the wind in his hair, Harrison Wind. What's up, brother?
Nothing, man. Good to be back with you guys. I missed out on another show yesterday. I know the best availability, or the best ability is availability. So I know I haven't shown that lately, but
we have not.
I'm here to redeem myself. Here to redeem myself.
Yeah. It's been rough for you. The availability definitely not great, but always available, both in our hearts and our mind. Oh, look at they're both wanting to know which one is it.
Yeah,
which
right.
one is it? It's Brendan Vogt.
Yes. Oh. That's huge, because I got to renegotiate a new contract soon, so I was hoping that would apply to me. Glad Harrison's back, though, so I can just sit back and lean on his analysis today.
Nice. Mm. Nice. Should be good. And then, of course, you also have a guy known as Eric. Actually, as D-Line Co. It's D-Line Co.
Oh, what's up, bros? What's going on, guys?
Man, that was lowest energy I could have imagined from you.
Wow.
I thought this was going to be a fun one. I like the Wednesday mailbag. I always get excited for it. Apparently, I'm the only one.
Something about that intro haunted me. I'm having a hard time bouncing back.
It is funny. We were talking about this before, but you go back and you look at all these 90s things, like the information superhighway. It's like the internet's just anything that we can create will just turn into the worst version of itself within a decade. That's just the way it works. Maybe 2 decades at the most. But
well, no, thanks to the internet, it's been accelerated now.
It's been accelerated. About
5 years.
Moore's Law applies to the creepiness factor of things you create.
One thing though the internet has provided myself is these brand new. Do you guys see this? Look at these slippers. Do you guys see that?
Oh, wow. I'm trying to see it through your internet here.
Is my internet fuzzy. Bad?
It is for me.
Oh, God. Yeah. How is my internet bad?
You're channeling your inner whatever was going on in that intro. That's the level of internet you've got right now.
Well, that's all I've got. Guys, there's a lot to get to. So every Wednesday, guys, throughout this offseason, we're going to be asking you for questions. You send them in, we'll answer them live on the show. But before we get to all the questions, there's some things that have happened in the NBA that I think are worth discussing right off the top. I think for me, the most interesting or pressing thing is that Daryl Morey The former general manager of the Houston Rockets is now the current president of basketball operations with the 76ers. And the reason I think this is important is because the 76ers are a team that I had sort of counted as out the club. They had a little run inside the club and they dipped out, but my personal instant reaction, of course, a lot of dust will have to settle here, but my first reaction, and I'll go to you first, Harrison, I feel like this makes the 76ers, or gives them a better chance now of actually maximizing their talent, or getting closer to that, which means that maybe that's one more contender that's going to pop up. Do you feel the same way?
I feel like it's a good move for the Sixers. It's the right move. Daryl Morey is probably one of the best GM/presidents in the NBA. That being said, the Sixers are just the ultimate team that skip steps. Like, they have kept every step that's like imaginable since they fired Sam Hinkie many years ago. And I mean, like, they hire Doc. Then they're like, oh, okay, we're going to leave Elton Brand in place. He's going to be the top guy. Yeah. Then they bring in Daryl Morey. It's kind of a train wreck. But
it is.
That being said, they have Ben Simmons. They have Joel Embiid. They have Daryl Morey. They could come out of it in one piece just because the talent's there.
What do you think, Vogt?
Well, I was surprised because it just seemed like that organization had turned the word analytics into their red herring after after falling short for a few seasons. And there was some weird, well, we leaned too heavily on analytics, which is also kind of weird because I'm not sure analytics would have told you to make that Al Horford signing. Also using analytics as generally and incorrectly and stupidly as they are in that dialogue. But to go from that, from blaming it on that approach, to leaning all the way in with Daryl Morey, I just think it's another example of Philly maybe not having a clear game plan. And so if you're a Sixers fan, at least with Morey in town, you go, whether it works or not, this guy's probably going to have a clear strategy, and there will be some sort of path forward.
But I think that your point is important here. One of the things that I think has worked for the Denver Nuggets in the Tim Conley era, it might be more apt to call this the Josh Kroenke era, to be honest with you, because he's the one that after a couple of big missteps right after he took over, I think said, okay, these are my guys, and we have to be unified. Like coach, front office, myself, we all have to be on the same page, and sometime there's going to be big failures within a larger, bigger, you know, sort of direction that we're headed. And so there's that cohesion. Elton Brand, first of all, we know that there's not going to be cohesion there because they hired Doc Rivers before hiring Daryl Morey. I don't think Daryl Morey would have wanted to hire Doc Rivers. That's not a Doc Rivers hire.
Not at all.
So it definitely feels like there are different captains steering the ship, right, in different directions. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause, and maybe I don't want to say concern because you wouldn't see the 76ers to the finals, but one thing that makes me think maybe it'll work out is Daryl Morey's really smart. So before they had no direction and a lot of bad ideas,
right,
now they have no direction and at least one good guy who typically has good ideas. So I don't know. Eric, are you now concerned about the ultimate Embiid Jokic finals?
Man, I this is the first time hearing of this news.
I love this instant reaction.
Instant reaction. This is like very confusing. This is about, I mean, this is like you pick the guy that's out. Obviously there's like only six guys that are available for any NBA job,
right,
as we've learned, right, like there's only a few guys you could pull from any, which is always
Jeff Van Gundy, like,
yeah,
we've been hearing his name for 10 years yeah, now,
yeah like, yeah, whenever there's a coaching opening, like a Van Gundy comes into the conversation.
I'm waiting for Vinny Del Negro to get back into the interviews here,
but
he hasn't had an interview in a while. Like, what is he doing right now? Where is he?
He was the guy that always got the interview. He was in every single head coaching job somehow.
But it is funny, like, the 76ers, like, really did. They just, like, tanked their franchise for a decade, essentially, built up all this soft clay that they could, like, mold into the right pieces, and they're just, like, chopping it away at it. I don't even know what's left. Like, getting Daryl Morey now, like, Daryl Morey to me seems like the most, like, reckless, like, just go for it. The state in which he left Houston is near criminal, and now he's like, hey, whatever, I'll just do it over to the 76ers now, it's fine. Like, I have no problem making big trades. That's what his whole proposition is as a GM. Like, I don't think I would like Daryl Morey as my
I don't GM. Think anybody does except for the fan bases, right? The fan base, because he does produce results, although it hasn't yet been a championship, but he has always results? No, but his team has been good for, you know, since he took over. I mean, the Rockets were good and they kept making these moves. I think Daryl Morey, the thing that to me is unlikable, I mean, one, you know, I'm not an anti, I'm a pro analytics guy. Like, obviously I use that to inform my takes or whatever, but he feels almost like he uses the analytics and every other tool at his disposal the way like a hedge fund manager like avoids taxes and like SEC like rulings and stuff, like just constantly like, okay, what mistake did they make in writing this rule and how can we exploit it? And so, and I don't know, it might work for the 76ers. I just think it leaves them better than what they were, you know, before this.
I tend to agree, Adam. I just think, like, the next step, everyone is in their trade machine already, but I think the next step is actually clearing up the top, the brass.
Right.
And, like, they're not going to, but, like, the next move I would make is moving on from Elton Brand and just, like, give Daryl Morey the keys.
Yeah.
And forget this indecision and go with a guy that, you know what I mean? That look, the Rockets were as relevant and good as they've been, you know, as I've been watching the NBA with Daryl Morey there. And they really did come very close to coming out of the Western Conference with those Warriors in there. So if I'm a Philly fan, the next thing I want to see is them just hand this thing over to Morey completely.
Do you think Harrison, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't go to Harrison. Look at Eric here while Harrison appears to be doing something with his internet. Eric, do you think that this, just your gut reaction, does it feel like the way out for the 76ers is to pick between Embiid and Simmons? Or do you think Daryl Morey's going to like, no, that's our cornerstone?
I don't know. Daryl Morey,
I don't see where this team goes.
Yeah, I don't either. Daryl Morey is his trademark is having like really just coming up with solutions that don't seem to make any sense and that sort of make sense, but don't quite get over the hump. So he'll probably figure out some way to make the two of them work. Or maybe he'll bring in Russell Westbrook. Who knows?
Russell Westbrook.
He'll trade Simmons for Westbrook. I don't know.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys what you thought of this. Like, there's already the Simmons jokes because he doesn't shoot any threes.
Right.
But Simmons might actually be a Morey ball player, man. He takes all of his shots at the rim,
he
creates a lot of open looks. So, first of all, there's something Morey can do with a Simmons type player. But also, what I'm most curious to find out about is Morey ball a principled approach, or was it an approach that was trying to maximize the talent he had in Houston? And these players are different than James Harden. So does Morey ball evolve now into something else? Or does he just have to tear it down? I'm not so sure it's the latter just yet.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, we have to remember that the analytics revolution of 8 years ago when Harden was traded to Houston was, I think, a little simpler. You know, as you get further into this, you discover more and more little avenues, the league evolves, and different things become valuable. Early on, it was, nobody's shooting threes, we should shoot a lot of them. Everybody's shooting these mid-rangers, we should shoot none of those and try to get to the line and this or that. And Harden, of course, was good for this, and he built that team. But I think that things have evolved now. We just saw a Lakers team that was enormous win a championship, and they are, I would say, an analytics team. It's just different because, again, the game has evolved and we've learned more about it. So I don't think that Ben Simmons by any – I think Simmons is awesome. You guys know this. I mean, I think he's such an underrated talent.
We do
really
think that, yeah.
Yeah, he might – I mean, look, the intangible parts of his game maybe he's in the Carl Anthony Towns bucket for me in terms of guys that like get like 10% of their actual value. But he, but as a talent, he's really good. So I don't think Morey's going to be like, we have to get him out of here. He's not an analyst. We need to trade him for, you know, some lesser player that happens to be more of a three-point shooter. I don't know. To me, this just signals, like, I was very happy because last year they almost beat the Raptors and this or that. And you look at it and you go, oh, my God. And they had Jimmy Butler. And you go, oh, my gosh, this team, like, they're going to be good for years to come. Then this year I was kind of like, man, it's over. Like the empire fell and the 76ers are no longer, we don't have to worry about them anymore. And now I'm back to being like, okay, I'm intrigued. I think we'll see what happens, but Daryl Morey I have a lot of respect for. In relation to the Nuggets, you know, maybe that's a...
I mean, jokes aside, do you think that there's a world in which he trades for James Harden?
Of course.
don't you think that a part of Daryl Morey is like, I just need a little bit of a break from James Harden. Like, I don't know if I absolutely
love him.
Like, James Harden's like an ex where you had a lot of really good times with, but like you just don't really want to jump 2 feet right back into that relationship.
Harrison's been burned. This is what I'm loving.
Yeah, it's been burned. Wow, we need some like sad
wouldn't you,
love.
Wouldn't
music.
You want a break from James Harden after that partnership?
Hold on. Can you explain this to us? Harrison, go ahead, Harrison. Tell
we
us.
I know there was a move recently. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a tough breakup, and the one you love, you're not ready to move on? Sorry.
There are a lot of good times, but, you know, the bad times just outweigh the good times.
Oh, man.
I would want a break from James Harden after all those years, man.
Harrison is definitely
like, we almost got to the mountaintop. We almost got to the pinnacle. We almost got married, but volatility. Coming up big and coming up small and clutch moments.
You just don't value physical.
I just don't know if that style is something I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Yo, yeah. Don't you feel like Harden and Embiid would be a dynamic duo, the two of them?
I mean, they're both very good players, so yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
dude, that would be the worst dynamic duo.
Oh, it would be so annoying.
Who would be the first one to demand a trade? I guess Embiid, because you couldn't trade Harden right after getting him.
He would shoot 30 combined free throws a game.
Harden does feel like the anti-Jimmy Butler, though, and Embiid seems to really like Jimmy Butler. But those guys seem like opposites. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about the 76ers anymore. The Utah Jazz just have a new owner. They just sold, which came out of nowhere. I didn't even know this was a thing that was up. And I think the thing that is pertinent here, well, two things. One, that this came out of nowhere. Usually, you know that teams are up to sale. Minnesota, we know, has been up for sale. And you see these things coming. This one was a sneak attack. And we're talking about a Miller family that had owned this team for, what, 30 years. Yeah, so 35. It kind of shows you, okay, maybe some of the stuff you might not see around the corner, but and then it pops up on you. Number two, they sold for $1.6 billion. Wow. $1.6 billion. Remember a couple of years ago, what was it? The Clippers was $2 billion. That's in L.A., the huge market, right? For the Utah Jazz to sell for that, I was a little bit surprised by that number. And I don't know. I guess it frames the conversation just for where the league is at. I mean, we know ratings are at all-time lows. We know that all these things are happening, but yet the valuations of these teams are up. What's going on here?
Are ratings a bigger issue, guys, for ESPN and all these right. teams, the partners that sign themselves into long-term deals? But the league itself still appears to be profitable. And it's part of why the ratings conversation has always felt, I mean, I get why it happens, but it does feel a little unnecessary. Like, Adams joked from a selfish standpoint, he doesn't care because he just wants to watch hoops. Like, the NBA is not going anywhere, dude. You know what I mean? If right. you're a basketball fan, yeah. you're fine. So, like, let John Skippers of the world worry about this at ESPN. I don't know if I got that. I listened to the Bill Simmons podcast. I think he works for ESPN. But you get my point.
I don't know if that's my take on it just yet. I mean, I think here's what my take is. Ratings are down. No, people aren't watching. But Nate Jones, who I think he's worked in the industry with a lot of, like, sponsorships and marketing and players and agency and things like that, he talks about how the numbers don't, like, it's not about the eyeballs. It's that the NBA just seems to have a really big influence over their audience, and that's what people pay for more. So people aren't watching. Nike doesn't care because Nike knows if they, or not, we could say Adidas doesn't care because Damian Lillard wears some Adidas. Kids are going to wear Adidas, and all the brands feel this way. So I feel like this is the economy that the NBA is existing in right now. Oh, Harrison keeps freezing. You see this? Look at him. He's just frozen there. Just frozen in place.
At least he is a good.
It's so hard to say goodbye
looking.
To Harrison over frozen. And over again. Yeah.
But I think so. This is the weird thing, and I think the world weird economy that we live in. Eyeballs are down. Fewer people are watching, but influence is up, and that means valuation of teams is up.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's funny because the product of the NBA, in my opinion, is so good that it doesn't. It's just really about them just sort of figuring out how they can maneuver this strange time in which we're in, where they have, like, really implanted themselves pretty deeply in the cultural conversations
right.
That are going on, which, to your point, for people that are in on that, is makes them even more enthusiastic about the NBA and get even more involved. But it seems to really be turning off, like, just sort of the general viewer. But does that matter?
This is Salt right? Lake City we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This isn't exactly Los Angeles, California, or San Francisco. This is – so I don't know, because I've heard that argument too, the, like, okay, go woke, go broke. Doesn't seem to be affecting the NBA's bottom line. It affects their ratings, apparently, right, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's a part of the soup
yeah,
that's affecting the rating.
That's
maybe
what I
it's
mean.
Not.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the people that are in are digging even deeper in. And for guys like you, me, Frozen Harrison over here and Brendan up top, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, I just love the NBA. I love the game of basketball. It's just so entertaining to me. It really doesn't matter, like, what they do outside of the lines.
You had such a good tweet, though, the other day, Eric, when you said like, it's hard balancing how much you love the Nuggets with how much you hate the NBA. I'm telling you, I'm moving in that direction where I'm just kind of like, man, I love this Nuggets team because they represent, to me, this sort of, like, purity of basketball that we love. But they exist inside this such framework that feels so corrupt and annoying.
Yo, I mean, I've listened to just the first couple episodes of the Whistleblower podcast where they basically paint the NBA as just an entertainment it's essentially just a play that's being put on, an athletic play that's being put on it's not really founded in a game of an athletic competition. But to me, it's not that. Like, maybe I'm lying to myself. Maybe I'm like one of those guys that watches wrestling and cries and says, it's still real to me, damn it. I just love the NBA. Like, and I just know that their product is so good that whatever these issues that are happening right now that are outside, largely I think outside of the NBA, are going to be solved. And it's not like the NBA is going to have a problem with viewership forever.
I mean, I think you're in a great spot if you can feel comfortable that your league is both profitable and relevant culturally, even if people aren't tuning into the actual product. Right. I mean, as basketball fans, it's ideal. Like, we want everyone to be in on this with us. But for, like, as far as a league which is operating for profit, you're in a great spot if people don't even actually need to consume the primary material to feel like they appreciate what you're offering. So they've got a lot to figure out. I think every league does. Like, I think this ratings conversation is going to get increasingly complicated as more and more people cut cords, and cutting cords becomes less convenient, and so on. I think all these leagues have something to figure out, but, like, is the NBA in trouble? Is it going anywhere?
Right. Yeah, it's not going anywhere. No. But here's what's interesting about this sale to me. $1.6 billion. I did the math earlier. Look, there's a lot of other variables. These numbers are not accurate, but they're ballpark accurate. The Kroenkes have owned this team for 20 years. They bought it for $350 million. That means they're making almost $60 million a year in appreciation just of their asset, which is pretty freaking good when you talk about all the other profits they can pull off of this thing. So
seems like we could get some t-shirts on the
I feel like post game we should have t-shirts every game. Like, yeah. You know, actually, Eric, here's where I go. I feel like we could have this team on television. I just feel like we could watch them. You know,
Or a G League team, or a practice facility.
People got mad. Somebody called me, said I was carrying water because I was defending the idea that maybe a G League team doesn't matter. I stand by this opinion. Like, do I think the Kroenkes are cheap for not having one? Yes, of course. Do I think that is as damaging as not having a practice facility, not having? And when I say damaging, that's damaging to your product, to like the team you're putting out, but damaging to the fan base, not having them on TV. I don't know. Did they lose so much money that they couldn't have just bit the bullet and had them on TV this year? I mean, that seems like a thing. T-shirts and stuff like just the general, are they putting money into the fan base? Those types of things. So I don't know. We're in an interesting point in time where all of these things, there's all these mixed signals right now in ways that doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel natural that the NBA could say nobody's watching, but we're worth more than ever. Right. And there's just all these disconnects. And then you look at the owners and say, okay, well, what I liked about the new guy buying, and look, every owner when they buy a team, they end up coming out with all these great quotes. But one of the things he said was he views this as a gift to the city, the Utah Jazz. And I agree. I would love if Josh Kroenke had a quote where he's like, I feel like the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche are my gift to the city, not this like thing that I extract value from. So again, it's easy to win the press conference.
Can we get a picture of this guy up, by the way? Like,
he's like a diehard.
Find
he's
the like, one on the yeah, on this the guy's longboard
incredible
here.
Yeah. He's incredible.
all right, let's. You're gonna have to do the ads. Do you have the ads pulled up? You're gonna have to do it, man. Harrison, I don't know what
look
happened.
Look at the anguish on his face.
And Harrison, he moves places. He misses all these days of work, and then his internet's not where. I mean, what is going on here? Availability. It's so true. This is like, yeah, he came back too soon. He just Will Bartoned us. He gave us one half of seeding ground, and then he was out. All right, on the other side, though, of this break, we are going to take all these. We have a bunch of questions, so we're almost going to have to go lightning round right from the start. But first,
hey, what's one of the top ways to support DNVR right now? By supporting our partners. Check out our friends and partners at Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You got to try their Avalanche Amber Ale. The beer is available to try at the DNVR bar. There's also the Palisade Peach Beer, which is delicious. It's ruining Harrison Wynn's life. The farmhouse is now open, socially distanced, of course, beautifully set up for outside dining. Of course, if you're more comfortable at home at these times, you can still order curbside pickup from 12 to 8 p.m. You can get beer delivery from the Drizzly app or just head to the nearest grocery store like King Soopers or Costco. You can order delicious food and booze from the farmhouse if you're able. Just call 303-803-1380. That's 303-803-1380 from 12 to 8 p.m. for pickup. Use code DNVR to save $5.
Real quick, I know the answer to this question. I assume you both caught my appearance on the tailgate on this Sunday.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, correct. I'll just ask you what your favorite part was.
all the jokes you made. And those were...
like you were playing. Yeah. I think it was your outfit for me.
Yeah, that was good. We had a segment where we blended
the beers
to try to rival RK's creation, the RK Special. My entry, I called the Brewicide. I just combined all the beers. Oh. You know what? Sounds gross. Wasn't that bad.
Yes, it was. Come on now.
No,
yes,
it really wasn't. Really wasn't.
Like, I love you. Yeah, it is like the old suicide, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. My rationale is like when you, as a child, you get full access to the soda fountain. You just go ham on that thing.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be terrible. Not bad. Breck Brew. Can't miss.
Well, hey, listen, we're all stuck at home right now, but that doesn't mean the world stopped turning. MSU Denver Online puts a dynamic education at your fingertips, so you do not have to decide between earning a degree and living your life. MSU Denver is the Colorado institution providing rigorous and affordable online programs taught by professors who bring the real world into the classroom. MSU Denver graduates use their relevant degrees to land coveted jobs. And as you know, some of our very own staff members have taken classes just this past summer. Super engaged teachers, extremely responsive to emails, questions, and concerns. Many of your teachers work in the same field that you're taking class in. This is a good networking opportunity. Course content is highly relevant. This is not whatever your interpretation of online education may be, not a point A to point B experience. They're committed to your holistic education. Check out MSU Denver Online and don't choose between your life and your degree.
Yeah. And shout out to at Nicola Burner. Got you, bro.
Harrison, are you back with us, or is this temporary? What's going on?
I don't know, man. I don't
know. Look at this dude.
In moving into a new apartment and setting up a new Wi-Fi.
Dude, he looks like a guy that has argued with us on the on Twitter before.
I know,
like, but he definitely seems like an angry jazz fan.
Look at that saucy dude. He's a man of the people. Like, he's... This is like you know what I like though is this guy like legitimately likes the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They bought the team for $22 million and sold it for $1.6 billion.
I mean, this was 1986. No, so there's inflation on top of all that too.
Of course, but yeah. I mean,
but you are right.
My overarching take on this Jazz sale is I wonder how many owners look at the $1.6 billion and go, "Huh. Maybe it's time for me to sell. This might be a good time."
Will it ever be better than this? Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Might be the best
time. And that's my take.
Yes, every year that follows.
We banged up on the Kroenkes, but I was talking about this with somebody else. The Nuggets only have like four golden eras in their 50-year history. Two of those came almost immediately. Two of those have come under the stewardship of the Kroenkes. Both the Mellow year and this year were both under Kroenkes, so... deserve a little credit for that. Whatever.
Water carrier. Yeah, for
real. Oh, so now I feel gross. All right. Let's get to our questions. Vote. Yes. You got all of them?
I'm on it. Hey, friend of the show, Chill Ducey asks, what did you guys miss most from not covering games in the arenas?
Mailbag.
Love that question. So what do we miss most, guys, each of us, about not covering games? I'll start if you don't mind. It is the perch for me, man. I really quite liked the perch. Which was gaining momentum, growing in size. I mean, we don't do the traditional beat writer thing, I think, just in terms of our relationship to the fans. And so sitting up there on press row, so close to all of you, in the same building as all of you, it just got so much cooler when we were meeting up at halftime, a la Twitter interactions. But in real life, I really mean this. Like, I miss some of you a lot.
Dude, the genesis of the perch was that I would come down at halftime and just bug Adam.
You were the inaugural.
He was the
first
percher.
Yeah. Because I would
get
go
off
to games.
My perch. I kept.
I would go to. I would go to games by myself. Like
security had no clue what to do with you. Like, is this guy
press? That would be actually something I'd have to plot out as I was heading down. Is how to give the security the slip to go over and tap Adam on the shoulder, and then Adam would come out begrudgingly, and then we would chop it up, and then we just started inviting more and more people.
Yeah, man, the perch is a good one. For me, though, it's the thing that's cool about going to games. I think I've shared this before, but I didn't grow up going to sporting events. The thing that's nice is being there is fun on an average night, but when like a Jokic game winner happens or a crazy comeback or a Murray three-piece, any of these things, it's just like you when you're there, you're like, thank God I was here tonight. Like right. I would have been so mad. We've all done that where we could have gone to something and then you don't go and you're watching, and then all of a sudden it's the greatest game ever and you're like, I had tickets to that and I passed. So that's it. When you're there for one of those special moments and you're just kind of like, oh wow, yeah, this is a special one. I get to tell people I was here for it.
Yeah,
the crowd's going for me. Nuts.
That's totally it for me. Just like there's nothing, there's no sound, there's just no emotion that can replace a packed arena just going wild after like an unbelievable shot in the fourth quarter, like. Where the hair on your arms stands up. There's just like nothing that can replicate that.
Man, so that was, I think, my last game before I was getting credentialed, that Westbrook game. So I was as a fan baseline. Shout out Jordan Evans, hooked me up with some good tickets.
Oh, so you were there, but as a fan.
As a fan, like beer in the hand, like jumping with everyone. That moment was off the charts.
What do you think? So that one comes to mind. I think the Warriors games come to mind. Denver winning at Pepsi Center, some of the Warriors ones.
Philly comeback
easily.
Jamal Murray free throws against Milwaukee.
That was a big one, yeah.
I'm curious, and I'm sure others are curious, what it's like for you guys to then go into the inner bowels of the Pepsi Center and actually talk to these guys after a game like that.
Well, it's wild because you're like emotions are running so high and you're like, what the hell did we just witness? Like, we're looking at each other like, did that really just happen? And then you have to just like totally snap out of it.
Right.
And just like compose yourself if you're going to ask Mike Malone a question, and then like go into the locker room and like act professional. It's like you have to just go from a total out of body experience to just one that's totally professional. It's crazy, actually. It's like ridiculous.
For me, that's not too hard. But what I love is when Malone, after a big win, comes out, because he's just like, Malone is such an emotional coach that he doesn't come down. Like, Harrison's talking about how he has to, you know, you have to like get reserved. Malone's just like coming out still like, whoa, yeah.
He gets all his catchphrases ready. He's like ready to go. Yeah.
And that makes it even more fun.
I love watching the players react to moments, because sometimes you can feel the vibes after a big game. But also, the disparity after a loss is really interesting to me. I mean, fans, the sky is falling every time there's a loss. And you go into the locker room and, like, these guys care because they're competitors, but they know it's like an 82-game season.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, they sort of have a longer vision, I think, than the rest of us. So I always found that interesting. All right, let's keep it moving.
Next one.
Harrison did not like that answer.
Yeah, I guess so. This one comes to us from Mark Schindler. What is the most surprising news of a former Denver player to drop this season? Aaron Aflalo being a part of an ownership group bidding on the Wolves. Or Juancho Hernan Gomez popping up in an Adam Sandler movie.
Easy.
Yeah, man. But I'm always down to talk about Juancho the actor. I was genuinely... Did you guys know this was coming? Because that actually did.
Of course not.
Surprise. That was a really weird... Kind of a complete weird
surprise. I think the movie's going to be awesome. I'm very excited for Juancho's acting debut. You think he's going to be terrible? I do think it's funny that Malik Beasley comes from a family of actors, and Juancho is the one that got the movie.
I know.
I was just going to say, like, I'm very curious as to what the plot of this movie is. Like,
You
didn't see?
I guess not.
A basketball scout finds an overseas Adam talent Sandler. With a troubling past.
Juancho. Yeah.
So Juancho's that bad boy. He's basically playing Darko, I think.
Juancho is the bad boy. This is gonna be amazing. Make him pop his collar and stuff. and stop screaming at him to stop smiling during every take.
I'm so in on this movie that I want to schedule a screening. I mean, hopefully, but it's Netflix. We'll figure something. But I wanted a premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope it follows or falls more in line with the Uncut Gems and less of the say.
Hubie Halloween
style of Adam Sandler.
What a winner!
It's easily Juancho though. This was no comparison. I wonder if there's another crazy bomb to drop for Nuggets players or ex-Nuggets players, but I don't think
Dude, Aaron LaFlalo is part of an ownership group? That's very confusing also.
I'm jaded by this by the time that we all found out Jay-Z owned $100,000 worth of the Nets.
Yes.
So, like, basically, yeah. But for years we kept talking about
That's
how
why
he
LeBron
owned the Nets.
Going to sign there, yeah.
Jay-Z owns the team, man. It's like he has a little bit of stock.
David East liked Hubie Halloween. All right,
many
Dave,
people
Dave,
are
give
saying.
Give us the rating.
You know who else 10 defended out of 10. It? A.J. Hafley. So that's an interesting. Yeah. That's a really interesting. All right, let's keep it moving. Storm 666, also a friend of the show. Hey, does P.J. Dozier get a bigger role next year? And what do minutes with him and Jokic look like slash do for P.J.?
This is a good question. This is what's hard about this one is if I were in control of the team, Dozier is like a part of the rotation to me. He's one of, in my opinion, the team's 9 best players. So I would play him a lot. But I don't know that the organization feels that way. And I don't know that they're going to be able to move enough pieces to get him there. I don't think that he's a Torrey Craig replacement at the 3. I do think he's a Torrey Craig replacement at the 1 and 2. Like I think PJ Dozier can be Denver's defensive ace against all guards next year. Like, okay, they got a good guard. PJ's minutes go up here. But I just don't know that the Nuggets are going to be able to move enough to make room for him. I hope they do, because I would not at all mind seeing more PJ Dozier.
Yeah, it's really crazy because we saw him last in a very, very high leverage situation that the coach trusted him to go in, and he performed at a really high level. So you got to think that that's bought him a lot of, I don't know, grace with the coaching staff. Like they gotta view him as at least some usable piece moving forward. There's a bunch of like players on the fringe. There always is, that you just have no idea what the, and you wonder even how the coaching staff is thinking about it. If they're thinking about, do we need to incorporate PJ Dozier in more? Is the front off? I mean, like, we don't even know what kind of moves are going to be made. It's like, so I don't know. I could see it going any number of directions, but he's totally a
What do you player. Hope?
I love him. I really, beyond the goofy nickname, like, I just really like him as a player. Like, I like that he's got the size. I like that he's got the confidence. I really do. I mean, the composure thing is, like, I really do like that about him. He doesn't, the scene is not too big for him.
So I don't want Will Barton playing the 3 except for in 3 guard lineups. But that's not the 3. That's just more like 3 guards.
Sure.
That means that your small forwards are going to have to be, or your guards are going to be Murray, Monte, Gary, Barton, and Dozier. That's 5 guards.
Right.
So one of them has to be cut out, or else, Dozier's isn't playing. And that's just kind of what I'm getting at. I don't know if there's a single guy you look at there and go, oh, yeah, he's the one. Cut him out. But I do feel like Denver maybe has a move to make that they get him. And then that's before you get to Torrey Craig, who knows, if he comes back, then PJ Dozier is really buried.
Well, I mean, don't forget about the idea that, we might be heading into a season that starts sooner than a lot of people want. And so the concept of load management might spread past even your top players. So you just have a wider rotation.
The guy I think is Monte, and not necessarily that I would want him gone, just that, given that he's approaching that next contract and you have a backup guard in the pipeline, I feel like that's sort of the move that would free things up for PJ. And I think PJ, by the end of that season, was figuring out some of the Jokic stuff. I don't think he'll ever be a consistent shooter. One thing Monte's great at is those give and goes, just finding Jokic and then after the post entry, just cutting right to the rim. Jokic loves those little kind of fade routes. I thought PJ was starting to figure some of that stuff out by the end of the year. So I'm with you guys. I don't think he cracks the rotation without a trade. But I would be highly intrigued by that development.
Well,
all right, let's move along. No Harrison Wynn, so I can't just lean on him today. This is brutal.
This is terrible.
Really brutal.
At Nuke Season asked us. Nuke Season, interesting. Should the Nuggets look at Mark Gasol if he stays in the league?
Oh, don't answer this, Adam.
I mean, of course, but I don't. I think that is already off the table. I thought he had agreed to a deal. Maybe that wasn't misinterpreted. I thought he went overseas. But of course, I mean, I've said this for years. I would love Marc Gasol to tutor Jokic in this final stage. It's almost ideal for Marc Gasol if he like wanted to come over, play limited minutes, and then be a huge part in the postseason. That would be perfect. I just don't think it's in the cards. It's like Gallinari. I would love for Gallinari to come back here for one last stand. It's just that he's a little too good and it's a little too early for that. Mm-hmm. Like Gallo in 2 or 3 more years, maybe. Marc Gasol in 1 or 2 more years, maybe that would have made sense. But I don't think right now he's too good to be just the like mentor. He's too good to be Mike Miller.
Right. he should find a different situation for himself at this point in his career, probably. Yeah.
But I think agree. I would absolutely love it, man. I'd be thrilled.
As a Plumlee replacement?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesse Hartman wants us to answer this question, gentlemen. Is there any chance at all that the Nuggets zag when everyone thinks they're zigging? And they actually trade up in this draft.
Ooh. I don't even think that's zagging or zigging. I don't know which one is which or what it is that people think the Nuggets are going to do. I think it's very much a possibility. This draft, I just think, is weird. I think this is going to be one of those drafts where all the teams have different valuations of these players. So there's an opportunity to move up, maybe even for cheap. Also, by the way, next year and the year after, great drafts and maybe having the 20th pick in next year's draft is really valuable. So I could see Denver moving their pick for a second pick next year. I could see them moving their pick to move up, moving their pick to move back, moving their pick for a player. I honestly don't think that there's any scenario that seems weird to me. In fact, when we've been going through, both on this show and over at Locked On Nuggets, going through and talking about the different players that fit, there's a lot of guys in that like 12, 13, 14, 15 range that make a lot of sense for Denver. So maybe it does make sense for them to move up.
And a lot of these guys that, you know, Wind and I have been looking at with these prospect profiles that were originally 20 to 30, they're moving up.
Right.
Desmond Bane had some great interviews. So as Brian pointed out, you might need to trade up to get some of these guys. I think that the notion of trading out of this draft altogether or trading back for a pick next year is interesting. You know, we've talked so much about the unlikelihood of a rookie coming in this season of all seasons and making an impact, especially for a team like Denver. So as opposed to drafting and stashing, I mean, you might just say, let's trade into the more valuable draft or the deeper draft next year. So it's all on the table.
Last night I asked Sam Vecenie on Locked On Nuggets if he'd rather have the number 2 pick in this draft or the number 7 pick in next one, and he said 7 in next one. So whatever that's worth. Voya asks if he's the only one. I just want to address this because I brought up Gallo, that wouldn't want to see Gallo back. I could take it or leave it. I think he's good. Gallo provides another player for Denver that's tall, long, and like kind of versatile. Offensively, he'd be super, super dynamic. But he also isn't a perfect fit. And again, he's if he was coming in on the Torrey Craig deal, where it was like, okay, you're the ninth guy, you're not making very much money, it's kind of a can't lose deal, then for sure. But Gallus was way too good for that.
Yeah, I mean that move would be like, I mean, it would just feel so good. You just feel so yummy in your tummy to have Gallo come back. It's just like a heartstrings move more than anything, but which I would love. I fully support that, but I have a hard time seeing it happen.
You want to bring Lawson back too? Get Fareed on board?
Yes.
Get the whole squad. Wilson Chandler back in? Yeah.
Aaron Aflalo, if he's not too big of a deal.
I wonder if there's like an Aaron Aflalo nostalgia. I guess there kind of is. He was a good dude. He was a real good dude.
Kendrick Lamar has a song about Aaron Aflalo.
That's right. Is that right?
Yeah. He was a big role model for kids from that area. All right, Eric, I'll go to you first on this one. It comes from the homie Miroslav.
Oh, let's go.
The homie.
Correspondent of the show. Would you like to see the Nuggets rest Nikola and Jamal for 10 games this season? Would you stagger them? Would you rest them together?
First of all, I love the way his question, he asked this of Eric. He says, would you like to see it? Like, oh, yeah, I'd love to see Jokic not play. I'd love it.
Nothing would make me happier than to go to a game that Jokic is not playing. No, I don't know. Jokic needs to play all the games, man. Like, he doesn't get hurt, and he needs to get in shape. So, no, I don't know. Like, I don't like when the NBA plays games where they just tell everybody that as they show up that they should not pay attention to this game because it doesn't matter. Like, key players are not playing, so if they are going to sit people for reasons that, I mean, that are necessary, then they should absolutely stagger it. I mean, there's nothing worse than having both players out. It's like going to a Broadway play and immediately they announce that the star is not performing. You're like, okay, what am I doing here?
Right.
I don't like that.
Well,
what do you think, Mars?
I think Denver and all teams have to take a 72-game approach next season, and that's probably going to include a fair amount of load management. But I'm not on board with anything that says 10 game, the first 10 games. I'm not on board with, like, let's knock all these off at the beginning, and our season doesn't actually begin until January 20th or whatever. Like, no.
Yeah, they're like, we need to find a way to ingratiate ourselves with the fans again. Let's have a month of the season that is essentially preseason, but counts.
Right. I think the way I would approach it is maybe this isn't the year. You tell Jamal, this isn't the year you need to. Are you limping today? Like, you can just rest, you know?
Right.
I know you want to go, but It's probably best for us if you don't. But I'm with you. I don't think you want to. Also, man, I believe in like losing culture stuff and yeah. momentum, you know? Oh, totally. And I just don't think you want to set that tone for your yeah. season.
Should we take a break? Yeah, let's take our last break and then we can wrap up on the other side. These are good, though. These are good questions.
Indeed, they are. You know what else is good, fellas?
What's that?
Strava Craft Coffee. Have you tried it yet? If not, we're selling the cold brew at the DNVR bar. That is delicious. You can also subscribe now and save 20% with a Strava Craft Coffee subscription. We know a bunch of you have taken advantage of our one-time code. You use DNVR20 to get 20% off your Strava order. But now you can save 20% off your favorite order every single time with that subscription. You'll never have to put your credit card info again. So if you've never tried the rich CBD-infused Strava Craft Coffee, you can do so using code DNVR20. Save 20% off your first order. You have the option of getting your coffee every 2, 3, 4, 6, or 8 weeks, 20% off every time. So remember to purchase online for 20% off using code DNVR20 or subscribe and get that 20% off every single time.
Hey, a definite coffee voice.
Coffee voice.
Yeah.
The season is in full swing and the action is still unfolding, so head over to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Presenting sponsor of this show, as we never forget. With so many storylines across both professional and collegiate sports, this is the time to check out all that DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer. If you haven't tried the app yet, do it now because they just give you money all of the time. It doesn't make any sense at all. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings is ensuring all new users are covered up to $100. That's right, you bet they cover with risk-free Sunday betting. This weekend, Denver's taking on Atlanta in a clash of two high-flying offenses, so get in on all of that action. One of those great sign-up offers, DraftKings offers great odd boosts every Sunday to help you make it rain. It's safe, reliable, secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw, which is how sports betting should be. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code RAINBOW when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is ensuring your Sunday bets up to $100. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-00. Call 1-800-522-4700.
Perfect. All right, let's get to some of these last questions here to wrap up. I'm giving you no music. You know why? Because when I go to edit the podcast, the music underneath it on StreamYard, it just doesn't sound. It doesn't sound right.
Oh, that's good. It's always best to explain your production decisions live.
There it is. Thank you. It is. Live on the air. People like to be seen. Another production decision. Harrison has left the chat because his internet sucks.
All right. So, shout out, Harrison.
That was a decision made for us.
It was a glorious return. All right. Matt Robert wants the crew to answer. Do any of the players load manage next year due to the short turnaround? We just sort of talked about this, but a little more open-ended. Kind of
no, it's not.
Question,
it's not more open-ended. Yes, the answer is I think a lot of players will. Should Millsap be back? I think he misses a ton of games. Will Barton, with his knee injury and just the fact that 2 years in a row he's ran out of steam, he load manages. I think Murray and Jokic both just for those reasons. So I think there's a lot of guys. Now, even if you look at a Bowl and an MPJ, those guys have never made it through a full season. This isn't exactly an ideal situation to try to do that. So I think they load manage. Lots of load managing next year. It's going to be great, guys. This next season is going to be very exciting.
But it's not just Denver, right? There we can assume there'll be a lot of teams in this boat.
Yeah, it'll be garbage all around. It'll suck for everybody.
No.
Absolutely. That's going to be, we're definitely in the era where, as well we should be, where you're just worried a lot about the players. Players are first and foremost when it comes to the NBA. They run the NBA, so I guarantee there's going to be a lot of load management.
Guys, we have a new question here waiting for the pick. I hate to break it to you. Yeah,
who'd you say the Broncos are playing this week?
Yeah, I was going to say, no, here's the system. If they play the Jets or they play a team that was decimated by COVID, I take the Broncos. Otherwise, I take the Broncos to lose.
It's a strong system.
It's been a really good system for me so far, so... Spoiler alert.
You're the worst.
All right, let's take a hard left turn with this question.
6-0, baby.
Corey
you're,
Blake.
First off, you're not 6-0.
I am 2-6-0. This is such me. I am 2-6-0.
No,
you know it.
You think you're picking straight up, but it's against the spread.
No. That's not exact. That's not at all what happened.
I'm going to bring the
graph. It doesn't matter. I am
correct. We'll fight about it later.
Yeah, we can fight about it later. We'll do it live.
Corey Blake asks us, what is the craziest stunt you have ever seen Super Mascot Rocky complete?
Oh, that's a good one.
Which Denver Nuggets player or coach would be the best stuntman?
Dude.
Ooh. Nate Robinson, former Nate Robinson, he would definitely be the best mascot. I mean, he's basically like what those mascots are. Oh, you know, the guy that is Rocky, I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this, but Rocky's not a real person. It's like a person inside of a costume. Like the Nuggets like hate whenever people say that because they're like, no, he is a person. Don't ruin the magic. But there's a guy there. And they want you to
acknowledge the cartoon mountain lion as a person.
Right. They don't want the magic gone that it's just some dude. But the guy is like he is a daredevil. So I actually have some inside info on this just from knowing people within the organization or what have you. He got so many injuries and like dangerous moments early on in his career that they have like forced him not to do most of the stunts he wants. Do you remember how much he used to run around like the club level? Did you remember he used to sled down the stairs on a tray? He can't do that anymore because one time he like really hurt himself, like coming down 40 miles per hour down the stands. But he's one of those guys. I don't know if you guys know too many daredevils. I know a buddy who broke, crashed his motor.
We know plenty of daredevils.
Yeah, crashed his. Well, I don't know if people know a daredevil. They don't know a daredevil, but he crashed his motorcycle, spent like months in the hospital, got out, crashed skydiving, still does both of those things like nonstop. Yeah. It's those type of guys that you can't stop them. They just want to risk death every second of their lives.
It's because they are like dangerously addicted to adrenaline.
Yes, exactly.
Do people know the story behind this? Like Rocky, I found the story behind this, like as he was being lowered, like he was actually being asphyxiated. Like he,
That
he was nervous or something.
He was being choked?
You thought harness. He was just nervous?
I thought he just passed out.
Yeah. No. There was it was a zipper. I know the whole story of this too. It was a zipper and the harness, like the zipper went right into like this part of it and just completely a knockout move.
So much worse.
Yeah, if he would have been like that for another 2 minutes or something, he might have lost too much oxygen.
Yes, everybody. So. I think everyone believes that doesn't know the story just sort of thinks like Rocky was like, oh, I'm scared of heights, and he passed out. Right. But he was like really, really close to like a real tragedy taking
place. That's really scary.
Yeah, totally. The best stunt that he does is when he runs from the middle of the arena and then he climbs up the entire ball arena. As it turns out, like, and as you're watching him, it's like you just can't even fathom that he'd be able to. And they also give him a timer; he has to complete it.
Right, it's really short amount of time. He's an incredible athlete, man. He might be the best athlete in the Nuggets.
There's no might about it. So because I don't know if you know this, even though Rocky is the cartoon mountain lion is a real person. It's a guy in there wearing a costume doing all this thing with a huge head. It's crazy.
Yeah. He's great. Although I will say some of the sketches every year, like the Nutcracker every year, they do that one. I'm always like,
they do go back
after seeing it every year, you're kind of like, all right, I wonder if they'll call it the Ballerina of Ballerina now.
Oh, he's definitely going to have a ballerina skit.
Ballerina skit.
I guarantee it.
I also like when he does the Oscars and he does all the movies, including Rocky, and it's all the same. Yeah. There's some good ones. Some good repeats.
Grant Carey asks, does a Chris LeVert package from the Nets for Jrue Holiday trump any offer that Denver could throw at them? Go ahead.
No, I wanted to hear what you said.
Well, I was going to open it up to, are there teams you guys have in mind that sort of, if Jrue Holiday was your target, you know, who are the biggest competitors there?
Well, first of all, the answer is, can they, like, Denver can trump just about anybody's offer. Yeah. Denver has, if they wanted to include Michael Porter or Bowl or all these draft picks, they could beat those offers. It's just that it doesn't seem like Denver's going to. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm not a Caris LeVert guy. I think if I were New Orleans, that's not the type of player I would be going after because I don't think he's a great role player. I think he's a bad star.
Fair enough.
Mm. Yeah, and he'll probably end up on the Lakers. What are we doing?
Jrue Holiday? It's just New Orleans. If New Orleans trades another piece to the Lakers, then it's just like we got to fold the league. We just got to get over it. Pelicans, I'm sorry. But
we moved Kuzma and Rondo.
Map time Arcada? I don't know. Does KBD have any game at all? Is there a role for him next year besides deep bench?
Ooh.
I mean, I think his role...
I'm glad somebody asked this.
I think his role could be like a Torrey Craig approximate if Torrey Craig moves on. Maybe a little more skilled.
Way longer.
But then, as Adam sort of pointed out on prior shows, hopefully a Torrey Craig that Malone is less tempted to play over Michael Porter Jr.
Yo, I have not witnessed 1 minute of basketball from KBD that I've been like,
I know.
Okay. There's not been one player I was like, all right, okay, we got maybe a little something here. Like
how many minutes have you seen of him though? Like 8?
All of them.
Well, yeah, all 8 of them.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, there's been other players that come in for short little stints, and I'm like, okay, all right. But we just talk about how you can just watch how players move on the floor, and the best players just move differently than everybody else. Like, Cade Bates-Diop moves differently than everybody else in the worst possible. He's just, like, sloppy, and, like, he's just, like, not where he needs to be. I'm so out on KBD. It's not even ridiculous. It's not even funny.
It is funny to think that he is on the Nuggets next year. Like, that's one guy we know, unless they trade him, but it's just like, yeah, he's on the squad. I don't know. I hold out hope for KBD. He never had a chance. I haven't, like you, Eric, seen a single thing that I'm like, oh, okay, that's it. That's what he does. Like, I don't know what that is, but we also just haven't seen him, which makes me think, why didn't we see him? Probably because he's not that great, but I don't know. But he is on the team. It is funny. We always go through the guys. Like, I think of Vlatko Chanchar, and I don't think of Kata Bates yet. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, never. And the other guy, I can't even remember his name now. The guy with the giant hands and the sizable posterior. What's his name?
Noah Vonleh?
Noah Vonleh, yeah.
Sizable posterior. All right, here's a fun question to possibly wrap up with here. We'll see. It comes from Josh Barnett down under. You can invite 3 NBA players, living or dead, to your dinner party. Who do you choose and what do you serve to eat? I like the second part. He's going with Jamal, Gallo, and Chauncey. They're going to have spaghetti and meatballs, fellas. I did not prep an answer to this, so I don't know. It might take me a little bit. But I'm pretty sure Chris Birdman Anderson is in there. I'll have to think about it some more. But he's
100%. Yeah, you probably serve him amphetamines or something.
All right, I'll tell you one lock that's in here, Eric, for everybody. It's got to be Dikembe.
Really? He's the lock?
Oh, he's a lock. Dude, I told you, when I was in Atlanta, Dikembe came into the locker room, and it was, like, infectious. This guy is just, like, he's one of those guys that walks into the room, and, like, you just can't stop smiling, and he talks to everyone, gregarious. And he's got the big voice. Yeah, he's so, like, positive and happy and fun and hilarious and, like, laughs at everything.
That sounds like a good dinner guest,
I would say. Great dinner guest. Great,
especially when he's slurping down spaghetti and meatballs.
I mean, you definitely want guys that are going to actually tell you stuff. Like, some of these dudes you think you want to meet, they'll be boring. Yeah. So I saw Gilbert Arenas down there in the comments.
Gilbert Arenas, are we not doing Nuggets players?
No, anyone in the
NBA.
Wow, okay.
Which also really has me wondering what it would be like to hang out with Allen Iverson present day for 2 hours.
Oh my God, great. It'd be incredible. Yeah,
and we would eat cognac for dinner, and I would ask him... Every off-the-record frozen story. Yeah.
And he would tell you, because it just seems like the kind of guy he is.
100%. Yeah,
I would absolutely. Gallo and Chauncey seem like locks to me. And then Jokic.
Chauncey's
those three. And then, I don't know, I think we'd probably...
Having fish stew?
Yeah, we bring... I'm not eating fish stew, but I don't want to offend my guest, obviously. So I'd make fish stew in his honor. I'd probably just,
pass on that
spaghetti and meatballs in the back.
I brought my own.
We open this up to any athletes. Gilbert Arenas probably isn't. People don't remember how like interesting Gilbert Arenas was.
That dude will tell you anything. Just ask him.
Very interesting guy.
He did bring a gun into an NBA locker room.
I didn't say good. I just said interesting. No, I know. Like, I told you everybody. He was a blogger. He used to have a blog back in the day, and I remember when people were like, "What is this thing? He's writing now articles about things." But he was way ahead of his time. Were there any good Nuggets? Who are some of the good Nuggets besides Jokic, of course, you'd really want to see? I would say Ty Lawson. He had such a tough exit.
I love Ty Lawson. He was on the radio oftentimes. He would do color next to Kaz. They bring him in every now and again. I was just like, he's so good. He was like so funny and interesting. You know, changing it. I don't know who I'm kicking out. Maybe Gallo.
Ty Lawson was great, man. He was great. He always sit and chat with you. Fun. You could just tell he was like he liked to be around people. People liked to be around him. It's a shame. It's a shame.
Can I take Rocky, but he has to stay in the costume?
It's your world, man. Ty Lawson got kicked out of a league for saying that women had cakes on the low.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Got banned from Chinese basketball.
You got banned from Chinese basketball for saying that this woman had cakes on the low, which I don't even know what that – do we know what that means? Is that what he was bringing to the –
It's a sizable posterior comment.
Okay. Well, you're probably right.
Is that what he's bringing to the dinner, cakes on the low?
Cakes on the low. All right. I hear the music, so
– Did you have another question?
Done. I do have one, but it could be kind of long.
Go for it. We'll go quick.
Well, Nolan Rogers – wants each of us to answer. What is your dream offseason for the Nuggets? It's a big question. You know what? I know my answer, fellas.
Go for it.
Run it back.
That's your dream?
Run it back. Play the kids.
Weird dream.
Run it back. Play the kids. And win the title as is.
When I'm dreaming, I just dream about real life, and it's great. Then I wake up, and I'm right there in my dream.
Literally nothing happened. Everything was on the table.
I was in traffic for a while.
No, my point is this. Most likely timeline for a title, stuff probably has to happen. Brightest timeline, don't change too much.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. Eric?
Yeah, what is my dream? I think I would like to see them bring in that big free agent. I think I'd like to see Drew Holiday come in, or Bradley Beal somehow, or one of these guys that you hear bandied about in the league, like it's part of the NBA scuttlebutt, and it like actually ends up going to Denver. Even if it doesn't improve the Nuggets, it just to be like seen as a viable like location for free agents to go to, like that would be amazing. For just to feel like you all of a sudden are at the big boy table, that's what I want.
So then, I think Vogt has a good point here though. Like, what if I knew the Nuggets were going to win the championship, would I rather them win it with these guys or make the move that makes it more like? Yeah, you're right. If they won with these exact guys, it'd be just so rewarding and so fun. I just don't know if they can. I do feel like they need something a little bit, and maybe that move is Lonzo Ball.
Oh,
my squad, baby. We're in.
We got it. Drew Holiday, get Bradley Beal. But what about
They cost too much. Look, of course I would take Drew and Justin Holiday if they cost like, you know, Troy Daniels sign and trade or something. You know, but no, it's not how it works. So
you know, I think if you can get Drew without giving up MPJ, that would feel like a big win.
Yeah, so I love Drew Holiday. Nuggets fans would love him too.
Yeah, Brendan's dream was just to live in reality, and your dream was basically just to get like a traffic ticket, like just to make ourselves a little bit like less enjoyable.
Oh, I'm telling you, just think about this. The Lakers, the Nuggets, Western Conference Finals. And what is the Lakers' undoing? None other than Lonzo Ball. Just destroying them. Wow. Just destroying them in a Nuggets jersey.
In what manner does that take place? Is he making baskets? Is he wrapping passes?
Like him and Jokic are just too smart. You know, they're outsmarting everybody.
They just pass it to each other so many times. It adds up to points eventually.
All right. Thanks for the questions, everybody. Don't forget we do this every Wednesday. So on Tuesday, be on the lookout. You know, join the live show. Send us your stuff, or you can send it to us on social.
Hey, we do it on Twitter. We always put that out. So some of you are asking how to get questions, and that's the best way to do it. If you don't have a Twitter, try to throw them in the comments during the show. We'll try to get to them.
Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Peace.
Do-do-do-do. Listen to this music.
Yeah, I heard it. Oh, wow. Not bad, actually. Hey, have you checked out WGT Golf yet? You've probably heard us talk about it a lot on this show. Well, WGT Golf is not only the most popular golf game in the world, it's also the official gaming partner of DNVR. It's become so popular that we had to open up a third DNVR clubhouse. Each clubhouse holds 250 people. So if you don't want to feel left out anymore, you can download WGT and join the DNVR3 clubhouse by going to dnvrgolf.com. That's dnvrgolf.com. Search clubhouse DNVR3. We host weekly tournaments with awesome giveaways. Make sure you're signed up to win easy money, win some beautiful DNVR swag, and talk your trash with the DNVR family. The whole staff plays, all the members play. We've got a Discord channel set up for it. So don't miss out on this experience. Get in on the action. Download WGT today.